From the land of Grand Theodore City in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the sixth day of June 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. A bit later in the program, the statisticians from Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, and Minnesota will be here with updates from their regions. It's getting drier, by the way, in the northwestern corner of the Corn Belt. We'll talk about that with Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. And we'll also hear about the agricultural energies today with Harry Cooney. He's at GrowMark out of Bloomington, Illinois. And it all happens on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org, willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Check us out online, willag.org. We're now joined to take a look at the futures markets and trade in Chicago at the CME Group by Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, futures came out of the gate looking pretty spiffy this morning. However, the soybeans dropped back just a bit. What can you tell me about the trade?
Well, I think that a lot of us were looking for, after we saw the crop ratings and the planting progress yesterday, that we thought we'd maybe see a little bit of a setback coming into this, last night and this morning. And we seem to be playing weather much more than we're playing the crop ratings. And, the farmers and all of us in the community know that we are very late in the planting season, even though we are caught up as far as what the percentage to be done at this point in time. And I think that the wheat, especially the way the yields are coming in out in the Dakotas and that reduced, and that's the area that's been more droughty than anybody else, they were noticing how that was coming back. And we saw a little inspiration come in and a little follow through in the soybean pit from how wheat and corn were acting.
Were you surprised? I take it most of the trade was that Chicago turned so quickly to the weather and the forecast?
A little bit so, yes. I think that it was a little bit surprising. We expected them to probably wait until after Friday, and we saw what next week's 6 to 10 day forecast called for. But, you were talking about 93, hot and sunny, no rain this week. And we had a pretty warm weekend a lot drier than what everybody was expecting. So I think that all in all, maybe as short as the funds are right now, makes them look a little sooner. Also, if you looked at the Commitment of Traders report on Friday that came out for the May 31st Commitment of Traders, commercials were net long 117,192 contracts of beans, and that's the largest long they've had in the bean market for 2 years. So that, I think, maybe woke up some of the traders, too, to look and see a little different, that maybe this weather situation is something they should have a closer look at.
If the market continues to go higher, how far will the July futures contract chase the December? And will we see the basis begin to, on the old crop, widen out?
Well, it's just the opposite over here. We've seen the basis narrow in on the corn market over here because of the ethanol plants are not, everybody's been busy in the field, and their crop hasn't looked very good, so they haven't been anxious to sell. Poets was 20 over last Friday, and I think they've come down to 18 over today. But in general, in Iowa and around where the corn is plentiful and around the way, if the price does work on up, I do imagine we'll see a basis widen a little bit. But what will really bring it in is if the commercials, they like to buy the nearby that they can have and hold and bring in there rather than the uncertain new crop and the quality of the new crop if it's later. So, it's going to be a commercial biased run-up if we see the July start to gain on the bull spread start to gain on the crop.
All right, that of course is Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, the Trump administration is set to put forward a $1 trillion infrastructure plan, and it will deal with waterways in rural America. Trump will give more details on his vision for improving the national infrastructure. The president will visit Ohio and Kentucky tomorrow to speak on waterways. Trump will give more details on his vision for improving the national infrastructure. One of the ways the administration is proposing to support a $1 trillion infrastructure plan is through public-private partnerships. partnerships, an idea that's drawing concerns from rural states. State officials and lawmakers in rural areas have warned the administration about relying too heavily on that type of model. They aren't practical arrangements in rural areas because of the smaller population numbers. People willing to risk capital on those type of projects typically want to make their money back via tolling or other fee-based ideas. The recent Trump budget proposal included creating a fee for commercial businesses to use the nation's waterways, an idea that has not set well with groups like the National Grain and Feed Association. And while the president is here in the United States talking about infrastructure and agriculture as it relates to the waterways, his Secretary of Agriculture has been in Canada to rethink a new dairy policy that has effectively blocked the import of U.S. ultra-filtered milk. We had a very candid exchange, said Perdue yesterday, of his conversation with Canadian Minister of Agriculture and Agri-Food Lawrence McAuley. Perdue added that he emphasized the U.S. will consider all options on the table and will pursue what's in the best interest of our state's dairy producers. He said he made it clear that renegotiation of NAFTA is one potential venue to resolve the dairy problem. Well, let's stay with the administration, but we'll switch agencies from the Department of Agriculture to the FCC, or the Federal Communications Commission. FCC Chairman Ajit Pai will blaze a trail across five farm states this week, meeting with rural broadband providers and considering strategies for closing the digital divide between rural and urban areas. Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, South Dakota, and Wyoming are on the list. Pai, a Republican who took the helm of the FCC earlier this year, will hold events with Senate Agriculture Committee member John Thune of South Dakota, who chairs the powerful Senate Commerce Committee, and Senator Ron Johnson, a Republican from Wisconsin, who chairs the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs. Pai will start off in Milwaukee and wrap up with a speech at the Wyoming Association of Broadcasters Convention. And finally today, back to Washington, D.C. we'll go, where House Agriculture Committee members Jimmy Pineda, a Democrat of California, and Rodney Davis, right here from Illinois, have launched a Congressional Agricultural Research Caucus to promote research needs in advance of the 2018 Farm Bill. Pineda represents part of the Salinas Valley, which produces much of the nation's lettuce. Davis is chairman of the Subcommittee on Biotechnology, Horticulture, and Research. It's said that ag research comes down to largely just one thing, money. Grants and labs aren't cheap, and supporters argue the U.S. has fallen behind China in public sector funding for agriculture. While farm groups generally support research initiatives, arguing they are needed to figure out how to more efficiently grow crops amid environmental changes, the Trump administration is eyeing the programs for deep cuts. The White House budget released last month, for instance, would cut USDA's in-house research arm by 26%, closing 17 facilities. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. USDA's weekly crop progress report as of Sunday, the fourth day of June, shows 96% of the corn crop around the nation has been planted. 97% is the rolling five-year average. 86% of that crop is up and growing. 87% the rolling five-year average. It's said to be in 58% good, 10% excellent condition. That's up 3 percentage points from last week. It was 61 and 14%, by the way, last year. Soybeans, 83% have been sown, 79% is the rolling five-year average. 58% of that crop has emerged. The rolling five-year average is 59%. The condition of the wheat crop is 42% good, 7% excellent. Last week that was 41 and 9. Last year it was 50 and 12. That crop is said to be 10% harvested now. 7% is the rolling five-year average. 87% of the crop has headed. 85% is the rolling five-year average. Now here are the state statisticians from Indiana, Minnesota, Illinois, and Iowa with updates from their regions.
This is Brad Medlock, agricultural statistician for USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service Upper Midwest Region. Statewide, there were 6 days suitable for fieldwork, which were the most Iowa's had all season. Field activities for the week included planting and replanting, applying herbicides, and harvesting the first crop of alfalfa hay. Topsoil moisture levels rated 9% short, 85% adequate, and 6% surplus. 90% of corn crop has emerged, 6 days behind last year and 1 day behind the 5-year average. Corn condition improved and rated 77% good to excellent. Soybean planting reached 91% complete, 2 days behind last year but over a week ahead of average. Soybean emergence reached 62%, 1 day behind average. The first soybean condition rating of the season came in at 4% poor to very poor, 23% fair, and 73% good to excellent. Dry weather allowed 1/3 of the first cutting of alfalfa hay to be harvested last week. Hay conditions improved to 85% good to excellent. Livestock conditions were reported as good with very little stress. I am Brad Medlock, Agricultural Statistician for USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service. That is the Iowa Weekly Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending June 4, 2017.
This is Mark Schleusener, State Statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. There was an average of 6.1 days suitable for field work across the state, and producers used it to plant soybeans and corn, replant some crops, cut and bale hay, and harvest some wheat. Average rainfall across Illinois was less than 1/10 of an inch, and temperatures were 2 degrees higher than normal. Topsoil moisture declined and is now rated as 8% short, 85% adequate, and 7% surplus. Soybean planting reached 85% complete, up 23 points from 1 week ago, and ahead of the 5-year average, which is 81% planted. 62% of soybean acres have emerged, compared to 66% normally. Corn planting is 98% complete, right on the 5-year average. 90% of corn acres have emerged compared to 92% normally. The condition of the corn crop was rated as 11% of acres are in very poor to poor condition, 30% are fair, and 59% of corn acres are in good to excellent condition. Wheat harvest started last week in Illinois. Only 1% of acres have been harvested as of June 4, compared to 3% normally. The condition of the wheat crop improved from last week and is now rated 14% of acres very poor to poor, 29% fair, and 57% good to excellent. In other crops, 60% of sorghum acres are now planted, 74% of the alfalfa hay first cutting is now complete, and 67% of other hay acres have been harvested. Pasture conditions are now rated 2% poor, 13% fair, and 85% good to excellent. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, State Statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Warm weather advanced crop development in Minnesota. The sunny days and dry conditions allowed for 5.5 days suitable for field work during the week, and field activities included planting, spraying, and cutting hay. Topsoil moisture supply is rated 1% very short, 7% short, 83% adequate, and 9% surplus. 92% of the corn crop had emerged. That's 1 week behind last year, but 5 days ahead of the 5-year average. Corn conditions improved to 77% good to excellent. That's up 9 percentage points from the previous week. Soybean planting was 94% complete, remaining 8 days behind last year, but 10 days ahead of the average. 68% of the soybean acreage had emerged. That's 6 days behind last year, but 3 days ahead of average. Soybean condition was 74% good to excellent. Spring wheat was 31% at or beyond the jointing stage. That's 10 days behind last year and 6 days behind average. Spring wheat condition rated 95% good to excellent. The barley crop was 97% emerged, with 33% at or beyond the jointing stage. Barley condition rated 92% good to excellent. The first cutting of alfalfa hay advanced 31 percentage points to reach 45% complete. That's 2 days behind last year, but 8 days ahead of average. All hay condition rated 81% good to excellent. And pasture condition rated 75% good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Jessica Lemonager with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report. Spring plantings for both corn and soybeans are ahead of schedule despite the rains. Some farmers are concerned that the increased rainfall coupled with cooler temperatures will slow germination and emergent for the recently planted crops. Many low-lying areas have ponded and may need to be replanted. The state's winter wheat crop appears to have withstood the weekend storms very well, with 71% of the crop in good to excellent condition. There were some reports of lodging in the wheat fields, but it does not appear to be widespread. The wet and cool weather over the weekend has also slowed pasture and hay growth for much of the state. Mint plantings were wrapping up. Corn was 45% planted this week, compared to 27% last year and 26% five-year average. Corn was 10% emerged, compared to 3% last year and 7% five-year average. Soybeans were 16% planted this week, compared to 5% last year and 8% five-year average. Winter wheat jointing was 70% complete this week, compared to 79% last year and 63% five-year average. Winter wheat was 32% headed, compared to 12% last year and 11% five-year average. Other activities for the week included tilling, applying fertilizer, repairing planting equipment, hauling grain, visiting FSA, and mowing roadsides. This is Jessica Lemonager reporting.
Our thanks to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the nation. Now let's turn our attention to the agricultural energies. We're joined by Harry Cooney. He's at GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Harry.
Well, good afternoon on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon here. Gosh, it doesn't get much better than this.
Hey, it doesn't. I've got a lot of things to talk to you about. First off, you told me there was this OPEC agreement. Tell me what happened.
Well, the OPEC agreement here, what was the end of May there, what they did was they extended the output cuts by 6 or 8 months. And on the surface, that seemed kind of bullish. It's like, oh boy, they're extending the cuts. But then when traders got into it a little further, they figured out that, well, now they must be seeing something going on in the world economies to cause the need for that. So that's kind of something that happened, and that's one of the reasons why the market has set back here. The need for the cuts, continued cuts, are mostly based on the some weakness in some areas of the economy around the world, and so that's kind of why the negative then came into it here over the last few days in the market.
So the idea then is that they cut on the idea that they needed to stimulate some more usage of gasoline and oil supplies.
Some they had to bring it back into balance, and this was the way that they decided to do that, by keeping the cuts extended. And then the question is, then how far do they extend them further, or will they need to? Hopefully, I think OPEC is hoping that by the end of these cuts, as we get out into next year, that they don't need to keep the cuts going. And we'll see at future OPEC meetings if that's the case or not.
We always talk about this gasoline supplies being cyclical. Did it interfere with the cycles?
No, not really. We still have fairly adequate stocks of product around gas pump prices now. You know, I mean, we have a lot of people going on vacations and such, and this is the time of the year. You know, Billy Bob is out of school, and Mommy and Daddy and his sister, they're all going to be going on vacation pretty soon, and pump prices seem to be staying pretty reasonable for this type of year and this time of year, and so we're a little surprised to see how well gas prices are contained in the lower $2 range throughout many parts of Illinois. So that's very reasonable compared to some past years, that's for sure. At the same time, what surprised me is that the dollar continues to fall. The dollar has been falling here ever since the first of the year. I've been surprised at that. So we'll just see if that continues also. That can have a little bit of a supportive feature on the energies, but just in the past couple of weeks, that hasn't occurred.
That's Harry Cooney. He's with GrowMark and joined us on a Tuesday afternoon to talk about the agricultural energies. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online, willag.org. Don Day is here. He's from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. It's a gorgeous day here in our part of the world. Don, can you tell me a little bit more about what we can expect the rest of the week?
Well, it really is nice, and it's really going to continue to be that way. The transition towards little bit of a drier pattern for a lot of the nation is taking place right now. Now, temperatures are a little cooler than normal. That's making it very comfortable. But while we do see over the next 3 or 4 days a little bit of widely scattered shower and thunderstorm activity, it's going to be really spotty. I think the northern areas, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and northern Illinois and Indiana, Michigan, and Ohio, Might see at the end of the week a few showers and thunderstorms. There's nothing heavy coming. It's a trend towards drier conditions over a large part of the nation.
This would be something that normally would happen. However, I do want to check one part of the Corn Belt, the northwestern corner up in the Dakotas, where I think they got drier much earlier than usual. What's happening there?
Well, you are correct. That is an area that has been drier, and at least here for the next 5 to 7 days. There's a little bit of rain in the eastern areas of the Dakotas and up into central and northern Minnesota, but not a lot. Now, the outlook for them gets a little bit better early to mid next week. But if you were to highlight two areas of the country that are the driest right now relative to normal, it'd be those southeastern states and a pocket of the northern plains that includes the Dakotas.
So in the southeastern states, they were dry in the wintertime, though I think that was alleviated, I know, for a while, but they must have dried out again.
They have. They are still at a soil moisture deficit, but as you just mentioned, it has been more wet down there. But that's an area that still could use a lot more to catch up.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking time with us today.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Do visit our website. You can listen to Don, all of the meteorologists, again, if you'd like it, willag.org, willag.org. There you'll find most, if not all, of our agricultural programming posted not long after it airs on our radio station, Commodity Week, which is our weekly look at the markets, recorded on Thursday afternoon around 3 o'clock, is always up normally about 5 or 6. This week, it won't go there until Friday because it's a USDA report day. That WASDE report due out at 11 o'clock on Friday morning. Commodity Week will be done live during this hour on Friday afternoon. While you're at our website, do check out the calendar of events. This is the list of items I've got coming up that will be traveling to this summer. The Illinois Beef Association Summer Conference is next week in Quincy. That's on Tuesday and Wednesday. And then the following week on Wednesday, the Dudley Smith Farm Project Field Day takes place. That's down near Taylorville in the Payne area. If you're interested, drop by there. Look up Extension in Illinois and you can find out more. I'll be up at the Market Masters program from the CME Group at the end of the month. And the Ore Center's 40th anniversary over in Western Illinois takes place on the second day of August. That followed up by, of course, U of I's Agronomy Day and Purdue's Agronomy Day. See the whole list on our website at willag.org in the calendar. I'm Todd Gleason.